I start off by saying that it is an honor and a privilege for me to be able to stand before you and share a portion of God's Word with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm always thankful for any opportunity to be able to do this. And yesterday we heard some fantastic lessons on character. We heard, what is character? Men and women of good and bad character, and then how to fix our character whenever we may find that it has flaws. And each of these lessons were a call to us to look within ourselves, to be introspective, and see where we may have character flaws, where we may fail in character, and where we are not representing the express image of Christ and having a good character. And each of these lessons that we heard were a call for us to wake up spiritually. To wake up and realize, hey, this is where I have a problem. To wake up and realize, hey, I got to fix this. And that is something that we need to do constantly. It doesn't need to be just each time we come into this church building that we wake up and we realize that we have a problem. We need to continue on with this even and take it with us when we leave this building. As we go through our lives day to day, we end up just getting stuck, just going through the motions. We get busy with our jobs. We get busy with school. We get busy with our friends, our coworkers, college football, NFL, all these things that we do for leisure, for entertainment. We just get busy going through the motions, and oftentimes we just forget about our spiritual lives. We just forget about what we need to be doing, what our main goal is to be doing. And when we're doing this, this is when we become complacent with where we are. We are spiritually asleep. And this is when we start backsliding. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, if y'all want to follow along in y'all's Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. It says, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. It says, do not sleep. Do not be spiritually asleep. This is not physically, you're not allowed to sleep at night when you are tired. This is, do not spiritually sleep. Do not spiritually be caught. Just going through the motions, not focusing on your spiritual life. We need to watch, be sober. In sports, I played sports from the time I was about 4 or 5 years old until I graduated high school this past spring. And in sports, I was taught in every single sport that you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And our spiritual life is the same way. If we are not constantly striving to get better, if we are not constantly striving to grow closer to God, then we're not staying the same like we think we may be. We're actually getting worse. We are backsliding. We're drawing further away from Christ. This is because we're spiritually asleep. We're not allowing ourselves or making ourselves be aware of the sin that is creeping in on us. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, it says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The days are evil. Yes, they are. We see all these problems that we have going on in America, and we can say, well, this is wrong, and that's wrong, and then just all around the world, there's evil, and that's the way it's always been. It's not just now. It's just some problems increase and some diminish, where now homosexuality is a huge problem, where 50 years ago it was not something really prevalent. But I assure you, 2,000 years ago, it was a problem, because we can read in the Bible that it's written to people that they need to fix that problem. But we go through our lives and we get stuck going through the motions, and we don't realize the sins and temptations that we allow to be around us. It says that we need to walk circumspectly. And when I think of circumspectly, one of the things I think about is how you drive. When you drive, you're looking forward, you're looking to the left, you're looking to the right, you know what's behind you. You know about the person braking 5 cars ahead of you, the person with the blinker on trying to merge on top of you and crash your car, and all these different things you know about because you're circumspectly just looking around. You're aware. In our spiritual lives, this is what how we need to be. We need to be constantly aware of the sins and temptations that we surround ourselves with, all the things that can lead us down the path of sin. We need to be aware of these things, and if we're not, then we're spiritually asleep. And if we're spiritually asleep, then we're going to be stuck falling into these temptations and going down the path of sin. Because we're just not going to be strong enough to handle the temptations if we are asleep, if we're not aware of the problems in our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in verse 13, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, it says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, and be strong." We are to be strong. If we're asleep, we are not strong. If we're not watching out for the sins and temptations around our life, then we're not going to be able to handle any temptation. And then sometimes we do get overconfident. We get arrogant. We think we are strong. We think, yeah, I can handle all these things. But we can't. I don't know how many of you know David Earl Minson, but I spent 8 weeks last summer with him and 4 weeks this summer with him. And last year, we went to his daughter's house, Ellen. And Ellen has a daughter, Tori Jo. And when we're there, Tori Jo is not allowed to touch their computers. It is not allowed. She can't touch the laptops. And when we get there, Ellen tells her daughter, Tori Jo, don't you touch those laptops. Okay. And she said that. Well, what does she do? She gets a little bit closer to the computers because they're just fascinating. She wants the computers. And then Ellen tells her again, don't touch those computers. And then what does she do? She gets a little bit closer to the computers. She says, Tori Jo, don't touch those computers. She says, okay, just I won't touch them. Just not going to touch them. But she just keeps getting closer and closer until finally she starts messing with it because she just can't handle the temptation anymore. And then she's taken to the back room and punished in jail. We do the same thing. That's a 2-year-old. And me as a 19-year-old, and I'm sure many others as 30, 40, 50, 60-year-olds express the same qualities in their life. They think, oh, I can handle this temptation. But no, you can't. You think you can get as close as you can, but I'm not going to touch it, but yes, you will. We become arrogant and overconfident and think, hey, I can handle this temptation. And if we're not doing that, oftentimes we're not even aware that it's there. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, it says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." When we're asleep, we're doing nothing but giving into this weak flesh. When we're spiritually asleep, we can't endure any sort of temptation around us because we don't even know it's there. Because we're not focusing on it. We're not trying to draw closer to God. We're not trying to be a better servant of the Lord. I mean, think about all the things that are surrounding your life right now. The things you do for entertainment. The things you do leisurely. The friends you hang out with. The co-workers you talk to at work. All these different things. All these people, all these forms of sin that are around you. And you just allow it to happen because you're not even thinking about it. I didn't really think about it much, especially in high school. I didn't think about how all the people that were around me and the sins they may be influencing on me. And I always thought, yeah, I can handle it. I'll be the good influence on them. They won't be the bad influence on me. That was always my thought. But no, that's not always the case. That's never the case. We have to be aware of the sins and temptations around us. Because if we don't, we're just going to get trapped just falling further and further away from God. Losing the bad character that we wish to have. Because we're asleep and we're not focusing on it. We're not thinking about it. We're not walking circumspectly saying, hey, I've got to stay away from that. I need to add this to my life. I need to take this out of my life. And something that's really scary about all this is that if you are spiritually asleep and you're not aware of the temptations that are in your life, and then they're just creeping into your life, you never know when your time is up. And the last thing you want to do is be caught spiritually asleep. In Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, it says, "And I know the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, and not riding in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." It is high time to wake up. Right now is when you need to wake up and realize what character flaws you have, what problems you have in your life, where you're failing to be a righteous servant of the Lord. Right now, there's no procrastination needed. It's not your Spanish homework. For me, when I was in high school, Spanish homework. It's not my Spanish homework. This is God. This is our spiritual lives. This is our eternity in heaven or eternity in hell we're talking about. And we don't know when our time is up. We have to wake up and realize, hey, I need to fix this now. Because every day we go through something that I call a spiritual war of attrition. And if you don't know much about war of attrition, I can tell you who wins. In a war of attrition, the winner is the side with the most supplies and the most manpower. In our spiritual lives, the side that wins, whether it would be the flesh or the spirit, is the side with the most supplies and most manpower, the side that we put the most time and effort into. If we're doing nothing, giving more and more to the flesh because we're asleep and we're just allowing all the temptations around us, that side is going to win. The flesh is going to win. If we're sitting there making provisions for the willing spirit rather than provisions for the flesh, then we're going to be giving power and strength to the spirit. We're going to be growing spiritually, growing closer to the Lord. And this is something that we need to be doing on a day-to-day basis to be awake. Realize, I need to put this off. This is where I need to grow. So that we can win this spiritual war of attrition. So that we can reach heaven if we were to die right now. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." The end of all things is at hand. We don't know. Our life is just a vapor of a moment that appeared for a little while and then vanisheth away. We don't know when our time is up. We don't know when we're going to pass away. We don't know if when Jesus is going to come back. He could come back right this moment for all we know. And the last thing you want to do is get caught asleep. From the time I was about 13 to the time I was about 15, you ask my mother, I had a lot of anger problems. And I talked to my dad about it, and he said that it was almost as if like I just hated everybody. That's the way he described it. I don't really recall hating everybody, but I remember getting mad a lot. And one of the problems I had was with my teachers. One of my teachers when I was in 8th grade, I just did not get along with. And I'd argue with her, and she'd come up to me, and we were about the same height at that time, and she'd just eyeball me, and she'd give me the eye, and I'd sit there, and I'd give her the eye back. Because I was mad for whatever reason. And then on throughout past that, until probably when I went to David Earl's last year, I had problems with when I would get angry, everybody knew I was angry because of things I would start saying. I would start running off at the mouth, and I didn't really fight with my fists on mat someone, but I knew how to fight with my tongue. And I knew how to tear someone down. I was pretty good at it. But that was a problem. I didn't even realize, hey, I've got a problem. It just randomly occurred to me one day, just, wow, I am really rude. I woke up, I realized, hey, I've got to fix this. And something that's really kind of freaks me out about it is, you know, what if I would have died or Jesus would have came back when I was in that point in time in my life, when I was just a really angry person? I don't think it would have been a very good judgment day for me. I don't think that I would be in heaven. Because I was just full of anger, and I was oblivious to it. I was spiritually asleep to it. And maybe you have some problem in your life. That's the same way. You're just completely oblivious to it because you're spiritually asleep. Well, that's now it's time to wake up and realize what you need to fix, what you need to work on. In 2 Peter chapter 3, in verses 10 through 14, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to His promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found in Him in peace, without spot and blameless." How many of us right now could say that Jesus came back, that He would find us without spot, in peace, and blameless? How many of us are aware of all the things that we allow around us, all the sins, temptations that are around us? We are to have all holy conversation and godliness. Talk about conversation. The tongue is a kindling fire. I run off at the mouth all the time. Again, you can ask my mother. I say lots of things I shouldn't. What if Jesus was to come back when I'm in the middle of a dirty joke? Just sneezing so hard spiritually that a baseball bat would wake me up. That'd be pretty bad. I wouldn't like that. And God wouldn't like that. How many times have I gotten around my friends, or have you gotten around your coworkers and friends, and just gotten busy making dirty jokes, gossiping, saying things you shouldn't around others, because you're just not even thinking about it. You're just in that group of people, and you're just weak as water, just fitting in with your surroundings. We do that a lot. I do that a lot. Just conforming. Not even realizing it, because I was spiritually asleep, not aware. Not aware of the temptations and sins I'm putting around myself. And then, on top of that, what kind of influence am I being? Did I say, hey, I'm going to be the good influence on these people? I say, I'm not going to allow these bad influences on me, but here I am allowing the bad influences on me and then adding to it being a bad influence on others because I'm spiritually asleep. That's another thing we got to wake up for. We don't need to wake up just to realize our own problems and realize, hey, I got to fix this so I can go to heaven. But we got to wake up spiritually so that we can save others. That is an important part of this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, and for 34, I think 33 is hammered all the time. It says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." But the second part, the next verse, is my favorite because that one gets me just as much as the one that's prior to it. "Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Oftentimes we allow the bad influences to creep into our lives, yes. And that is a problem. And we need to wake up and realize that we don't need that. But have we ever thought about what type of influence I'm being on someone? That's just as big of a problem. Some have not the knowledge of God, and it is to our shame. Some are perishing, and it is to our shame. We need to work on that. We need to fix that. We need to be awake and realizing, hey, I need to fix this in my life so that I can help this person with this in their life. We need to wake up spiritually so that we can wake others up. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26, it says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, that God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive at his will. Another thing is being spiritually awake in church. I mean, everybody is obviously physically awake, but how awake are you spiritually? How much are you putting yourself into the service? How much are you trying to be edified when you come into the service? How much work am I putting into my lesson before I come in here? How much work am I putting into God, period, so that I can not only better myself, but better others? We can also see this in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. But watch thou in all things, in your afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. We got to make full proof of thy ministry, of our ministry, which is God, which is going out and saving souls. That is not just outside this church, but that is inside this church as well. Sometimes I feel like I'm just sort of thinking, hey, I need to try to get better at things outside of church and helping others come closer to God outside of church. But I got to put more to it in church as well. I mean, sometimes I feel like when we do our Lord's Supper, we're just sort of in and out. We do it and it's done. It's not the actual memorial service that it needs to be. We're not putting enough emphasis on it. Sometimes I feel like I don't put near enough work into my lessons. Sometimes I feel like I'm putting enough of myself into the singing, into the praying, into all of it. And that's something that we've got to do. We have to be awake spiritually, given all we've got in and outside of this church building, so that we can edify others, so that we can be edified, so that we can save others. All these things are important, and all these things need to be done. But you can't do it if you're spiritually asleep. You can only do it if you're aware of what you should be doing and what you are doing. So now we talk about how we need to wake up spiritually. We need to be aware of the sins, temptations, all these things around us. We need to be aware of where we have character flaws and where we need to fix these things. Because, as I said, we don't know when our end is. We don't know when our life is over. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. And then we talk about how we need to wake up so that we can save others. We need to wake up so that we can bring others to Christ, so we can edify our brothers and sisters in Christ, and so that we can create more brothers and sisters in Christ, so that we can save other people's souls. And now, I'm going to talk about, real quickly, sort of mimic what Terry did yesterday, how to gain good character, how to awaken unto righteousness, how to awaken yourself. And these are some of them are pretty generic ideas, but they work. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 18, it says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." We have this armor of God on us to fight temptations. And one of the main things that pops out to me is that we're to have the sword of the Spirit. We're to have the Word of God. We need to study more. When we study God's Word, it points out the things that we are missing. If we are truly studying, if we are truly putting ourselves into it. And then another thing is it says that we need to pray. We need to pray about the things that we are trying to overcome. When we wake up from reading God's Word and see where we have our faults, we need to pray about it, so that we can overcome them. In a way, it's sort of like opening up God's Word is like on our alarm clock to our spiritual sleep. It'll wake us up. It'll point out our flaws. It'll point out our faults, and it'll say, "Hey, this is what you need to fix." In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, it says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about with words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I mentioned earlier that the whole anger issue, and I had problems with anger, and then I was really bad about running off at the mouth when I was angry. And one of the things that I did on accident, but it worked, was I put a Bible verse in memory. When I was at David Earl's, he had me do all this stuff on discretion because I lacked in discretion. And one of the verses that just sort of stuck in my mind, and it's still there, is Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 11. It says, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger." And then it goes on and says a little bit more. That's the part that stuck with me. And it seems like every single time I've gotten mad since then, and I'm ready to start saying stuff that I shouldn't to someone, that verse sort of pops in my head. And I think, I can't do it. I don't need to start degrading that person, even though they made me mad. Put a verse to memory. You have a problem, you have a flaw, and you realize what it is, put a verse to memory. It'll help. Because whenever that temptation is around you, you'll realize it. Because that verse just pops into your head. It is an excellent way. And it was on accident that happened to me. I'm glad it did. But we got to not just study, but memorize. Because if it's not in your head, if you're just reading it, then what good does it do you if you're not applying it in any sort of way? If you put it in memory, then you're applying it to your life. You're saying, hey, this is, I need to remember that because this will help me grow spiritually. This will help me do better next time this temptation is around. Another thing that is very important when trying to wake up spiritually and stay awake spiritually is that we need to come to church. We do not need to forsake the assembly. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." We need to come together. We need to comfort one another. We need to confess our faults to one another. We need to edify one another. This is the whole point of this church, so that we can all grow spiritually together. So that we can all just be in unity, as it says, one mass body of Christ that is just all reaching for the same goal, which is to enter heaven. And we come to this church, and it is important not just to come on just Sunday mornings, because we need to be put in remembrance of our flaws more than just one time. We need to be put in remembrance all the time. It'd be awesome for you to come to church every single night. Let's that be awesome for me, because I'd probably be a whole lot better person, because I'd be constantly put in the remembrance of the flaws that I have. I'd constantly be awake, so I would have just heard a lesson the night before, and I would be able to fix the problem. And last, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, it says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cling to that which is good." Now this is sort of like the ultimate goal when you're trying to wake up and realize things in your life. And that is to abhor that which is evil, to hate that which is evil. I know what I'm about to say is going to sound really weird, but it's okay. I hate cheese. Cheese is the worst food in the whole entire world. I abhor it. It is disgusting. I'll tell you something about cheese. Whenever I walk into my mom's house, she's fixing that nasty, cheesy potato beef mush. I know it because I can smell it. And it makes my whole entire body cringe, and I just want to run 50 miles away. I mean, I hate cheese so much. And I know as soon as it is around me. And if there's cheese in my food that's clean enough to where I can't smell it, as soon as I put it in my mouth, I know it's there. And I hate it. It is disgusting. It just makes me, you know. That is how sin needs to be for us. That is how our flaws need to be. The ultimate way that we can get rid of our sins is to start hating it with all we have. To start abhorring it with all we have. If we can do that, then as soon as it is around us, we're going to know. Because we just hate it that much that we can't even stand to be in the presence of it. I can't stand to be in the presence of cheese. My brother hates peanut butter the same way. And back when we were younger, and he used to hit me all the time. One time I was eating a Reese's cup in his car, and he just started hitting me so hard. He's like, "I hate peanut butter, don't bring it in my car." He just hates peanut butter. And I hate cheese. And as soon as he's around peanut butter and I'm around cheese, I know it and I hate it. I don't want to be around it. If we can treat sin that way, it solves all our problems. So as soon as we're around it, we just can't even stand. It just makes us cringe. It makes us gag. That's our ultimate goal. That is what we need to be reaching for when it comes to treating our sin. The hate. So are you awake spiritually? Are you aware of the sins, the temptations that you allow to get around you all the time? Or have you reached that goal where you hate it and you know what's around you? There may be some of you here that need the prayers and help of the church to wake up and realize where you are missing in your spiritual life. But there may be some of you here that need to obey the gospel, become a fellow brother and sister in Christ with us. If there are any of you here that need either of those, excuse me, if there are any of you here that need the help or service of the church this morning, please come as a sign. Thank you.